Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. My name is Alex. This right here is my co-host, Skiba. Skiba, how the hell are you?
I'm pretty good, man. I was good. Now I have a broken shoulder.
I'm taking advantage of the opportunity to do that while I can.
I know.
You know, people may not know this, but at some point we might have to go remote with our show.
Yeah.
This guy is getting ready to move on me. And
I am. I'm moving.
I know.
Sucks. I'm moving. But it doesn't matter because the spaceship is just going to fly by and pick us up and we'll do our show every week.
That it will. But for some reason, I probably just won't be able to... get that in. So
you're saying I'll be a hologram?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it while I can. We got some early birds in the chat. Thank you guys for joining us. We have Oni K's, Dinah Gwen, Hello Milady, Limitless Gaming, The Homie, Radio Runt, Hussein X, Mitochondria, Delirium Drew, Tones My Bones, Pabark. Dude, people are flying in right now.
What's up?
This is pretty exciting.
How you guys doing? And missed you all.
There's one name that's also in the chat that I didn't mention, and it's because it is our guest. Our guest is in the chat. He's in there right now, and he's waiting to be pulled onto the show, so we're not going to make him wait too much longer. Our guest today, please welcome to the show. You may know him as Reckoner VR, Gary Walkden.
Gary. What's up, Gary?
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me on Between Realities. It's fantastic.
Dude, absolutely, we are so excited to have you, man. This is an exciting week for you, is it not?
Yes. It's like the culmination week, I suppose. It's pretty exciting, yeah.
So if you're unfamiliar, Gary is a science fiction author. He's actually an OG on the VR Roundtable podcast, the late VR Roundtable podcast that Skiba is representing on his t-shirt today, and has since been cranking out sci-fi novels. And this week you had one come out called The Memory Engine. Pretty exciting, dude.
Yeah. So it's been a long time coming. I started it sort of last year, and then during lockdown, I thought now's the time to really knuckle down and get the book finished. So that's what I did. It's my fifth novel, but this is the one that's sort of dedicated almost entirely to VR and AR and that kind of technology. So that's why it's sort of relevant to talk about it on my Twitter feed and stuff like that, I suppose.
Right. Hell yeah, dude. You just being... I feel like the man behind the Twitter is relevant enough to share when you are writing books and putting them out. But of course, we're excited that this one is VR related.
We're
all in the VR world, and we know that you are too.
Yep.
We actually have a pretty badass trailer for this book.
We do.
That we should probably roll for everybody right now, so you can get an idea of what we're talking about here.
All right, let's check it out.
Let's roll the trailer. Between Realities vibes in this trailer.
Yeah, man, that was super cool. I love the music, I love the visuals, you know. Yeah, it gets me pumped for this book.
I should definitely thank Vivian from the Hive VR for sorting that trailer out for me. She did a fantastic job on creating that for me, very kindly, you know. She just offered to do it, and it's a fantastic job.
Nice. And happy belated, Vivian. I know she just celebrated her birthday yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday,
Something like that? Oh. Yesterday, yeah. Happy birthday, Vivian. Yes, good job on the trailer. So a device that lets you experience your past. Is that what it says in the trailer?
Yeah. So... the story, I'll just give like a brief overview of what the book's about, I suppose. That's the easiest thing to do. So it's sort of set in the near future. I'm not specific about it, sort of 20, 30 years, I suppose. But everybody, it's in a world where everybody's going around with their AR glasses, but these can also be VR glasses as well. And there's a virtual world, as there always is in these books. There's a metaverse, a cyberspace, an oasis. And within this virtual world, everybody, it's used as like a business aid and a collaboration aid and that kind of stuff, really. But within this world, the story focuses around a character called Evan Turner. He's in his early 20s, and he is sort of getting on with his life. He doesn't really excel in any particular area or anything like that, but he's sort of getting on with his life. And he gets offered to trial a new product called the Memory Engine. And this is the concept of which is it's an add-on to a VR headset where it can upload your raw sensory memory data to a centralized database. And it allows you to then visit computer-generated reconstructions of these memories in virtual reality. And the advantage of this is that the billions of users that have VR headsets around the world and AR headsets around the world all upload their memories, and it can generate a picture of the past. And you can then put in a date, a time, a location of any point in living memory, go back and visit a computer-generated reconstruction in virtual reality. So it's almost like a time machine where you can observe things. It's almost like within A Christmas Carol where Ebenezer Scrooge could go back and observe his past memories and just walk around and observe them. But you can do this in a virtual reality headset. It's not actual sort of video footage of your memory. It's computer generated through AI. And the more people that were present at any particular memory, the more accurate the computer generation will be. And the narrative is sort of based around that concept, really. Evan has to sort of solve a mystery by using this technology. That's sort of the pitch.
Dude, that sounds more like science prediction than science fiction.
I agree. I was just thinking to myself that, like, this is probably going to be the future.
Yeah. Do you know? Think about that when you're putting this together? Like, hey, I might actually be like guessing what's going to happen right now.
No, not with the only with like the VR AR side of things. Of course, I think that's the way things are going to head. With the memory thing, I would love that to be true. You know, imagine just going back and exploring any memory you can think of from your past, conscious or subconscious memories. You can go back and visit them again. I just think that kind of concept is always going to be impossible. I think there's just fundamental limitations on what you can do, and unfortunately that will probably never happen. I would love it to.
Right. Well, and you know, you got guys like Lucas Risotto out there making videos that are like trying to do that, you know.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah. Oh, that was absolutely fantastic. I love that video. I clicked on it at the start and I thought, yeah, this is okay. As it went on, I wanted more. As it went
it's
on
the
and
best.
On.
Yeah,
it's the best video I've ever seen on YouTube. Yeah. Like, seriously, it's extremely good.
Yeah, it really is.
What's the name of the protagonist in your story?
Evan Turner. Evan Turner is the lead character.
I want to ask, because you're five novels deep now. How do you name stuff? Like, how do you, like what do you have like a process or like somewhere that you go for inspiration? Because whenever I'm naming anything, like when we tried to name this show, or I try to name a Twitch stream, or even a character in a game sometimes, it's like so daunting, man. Like, how do you tackle that beast of naming people and areas and stuff like that?
Oh, it's Google. It's just Google. I just do a Google search for surnames. And one of my novels actually used like old English surnames. I specifically wanted old English names, old English surnames. So I just Google that stuff and pick. It's literally random. Honestly, it's almost completely random. I like names that sort of vaguely sort of fit the character that I've got in mind. But honestly, there's not. If there's one thing that I don't put a lot of thought in, it's probably the names of the characters, in all honesty.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have like a certain inspiration that you used for this book besides just virtual reality in general? Like, you know, the obvious one I would think of would be like Ready Player One. But is there some things that, you know, that really kind of stuck with you in some different shows or movies that really kind of cemented this story into your brain?
It's an amalgamation of so many different things, honestly, I suppose. It'd be difficult to pick one in particular or two or three or four, but I suppose, yeah, I mean, Ready Player One, you start reading the beginning of this book and you can understand how the influence of Ready Player One is. I think sort of four or five chapters in, it's sort of going along those lines. I've been very careful, actually, to avoid any 80s, 90s pop culture references because I didn't want to go down that path, and it was quite difficult when you're dealing with memories and stuff like this.
Yeah.
But so I wanted to avoid that thing. But the first few chapters are sort of your I'm explaining how the virtual world works and that kind of stuff. So that could be sort of very much Ready Player One. As the story goes on and progresses, and by the end, it's a very different story to Ready Player One, yeah.
Nice. So right now it's currently, you can get like the ebook version of it, and you do have a physical version coming extremely soon, if not now, right?
Yeah, I've got one here, so it is real. I don't know if people believe me or not, because Amazon are dragging their heels on this. I've emailed them today, and they said within another 48 hours, it should be appearing on Amazon to purchase the physical copy as well. So, yeah, I'm eager for people to get that. I've got this cover designed by somebody, and I think it looks great. So, yeah, I would love people to get the physical copy as well.
For sure. Like, I could have read your novel by now, but honestly, I haven't, because I want to hold it in my hands and, like, I want to have that page-turning experience, you know? Like, I haven't read a book since The Da Vinci Code, which was a time ago. Like, a long time ago. And I loved it. I had so much fun reading it. I just never read books. So, you know, you coming out with the book, of course, is all the inspiration I need to pick one up and thumb through it. But I'm not doing it on my computer. If I'm going to read another novel, I'm holding that thing in my hands. I'm going to, like, be, like, up in my bed, you know, like an old person, like, lean over and turn off the nightlight and go to sleep after a few chapters.
One thing just to mention very quickly on the physical copy, it's not as cheap as I wanted it to be. So when you submit these things to Amazon, they sort of add on their price, the printing costs, and this kind of stuff. I'm making less on the physical copies than I am on the Kindle version, but the price, so in the US it's going to be $12.99, in the UK it's $9.99, so it's not the cheapest paperback in the world. So I do want people to be aware of that. I have made it as cheap as possible, though.
That sounds completely reasonable to me.
I think so. I mean, how many hours of entertainment are you getting for $12.99?
Right. I wouldn't have blinked my eyes at $12.99.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know.
What about the audio version? I heard in October. Is that correct? Do you have an audio version of the book coming out?
Yeah, fingers crossed October. It might be earlier. It might be a little bit later. But yeah, so I think the guy that is producing it, he is currently around 6-7 chapters in, and he's sending me updates of the chapters that he's recording. So yeah, the audiobook will be coming out at some point as well. Follow me on Twitter, and I'll obviously post updates with that as well.
That's my personal favorite way to take in books. You know, I do a lot of driving, and at least I used to before this whole virus hit. And man, I mean, I went through so many audiobooks in my car, and it was just the best experience. And, you know, that's how I listened to, that's how I read Ready Player One. Was, you know, Will Wheaton did an audio, you know, read the book on the Amazon Audible. Yeah, Audible. And it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. The future, the history of the future, I did on history there as well. Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to listening to this one as well. I'll probably get a few chapters in because I want people to wait, but but I'll definitely be ordering a physical copy as well.
Wow. This is awesome, man. Yeah. We're excited to read it, and it looks like the chat is too, and anybody who's watching this not live ahead of the fact, I'm sure you're already excited, and you're probably on Amazon right now checking this out. So we're excited to get into it, man.
Thank you.
Yep.
So
very much so. So what do you think we should get into first here? There's so much that happened this week and so much going on next week, even tomorrow. Should we just get into like what's happening tomorrow?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So tomorrow we, as in Skiva and I and some others, will be participating in an official Gamescom event.
Yes.
And a VRML event put on by Cybershoes, and we are going to be competing against other VR content creators in three different squads. In Onward, we're in Cybershoes attached to our feet, and there's cash up for grabs here. So we're going to be trying to win this thing.
Oh, heck yeah.
So we're pretty excited. We've been practicing a little bit this week and the week before. We had Theta, who is a pro Onward player. He actually reached out and he was like, hey, you know, if you guys want to get in there and learn some pro strats and get ready
for
this
tournament. Thank you, Theta. Not that we needed any help beating these clowns. I'm just kidding. Awesome. All these people are absolutely phenomenal. You know, I've watched almost every one of these people's channels, and I'm really looking forward to shooting some of these people.
So there's three teams. There's Team Green, which is on the screen there. That's Lonely Viper, GT, Joker, and who else is on that?
Do we have the Lonely Viper? Well, no, it's gone. Yeah, it's up there somewhere. It'll be rolling.
So Team Red is Soul Fox, Proper D, VR Gamer Dude. Is that Drake?
V Bunny Go. Property. Did you say that?
Yep, yep. Cool. And then our team, Team Blue, Alex, Skiva, Eric for President, Steve Nose, and Dr. Oculus.
Yes.
And green is Joker, GT. So, you know, anyway, there's a lot of awesome VR content creators in this tournament, and we're super, super stoked to play with everybody in the Cyber
Shield. There really is. Oh, fuck, shit. You serious right now?
I hate to say it, but given your opposition, you guys have a pretty good chance at winning this stupid tournament.
Oh, wow. Thanks, man. Holy cow, didn't expect that.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's not often you say something nice. You
know? Yeah.
I didn't say that you guys were good. You're just barely better than those garbage squads.
Garbage? Dude, come on, man. Gamertag, like Lonely Viper. Yeah. There's some really good people playing on this team, man.
Gamer Twat's only chance is riding the Lonely Viper to victory.
Oh, snappy dappies. That's not okay. That
and
so
Red
gross.
Team is full of woodland creatures like bunnies and foxes. I don't think you have too much to worry about there either.
Well, listen, man.
Soulbox and
we're just excited.
Go
we're just excited to play with the Cyber Shoes and have fun with everybody.
Yeah. You guys are seriously using Cyber Shoes. Cyber Shoes work about as well as their marketing campaign.
Oh man, come on, dude. Hey, Lana's such a good chick. You know, they're all good people over there, man. I really like Cyber Shoes.
Cyber Shoes are almost as bad as the Vive Cosmos tracking.
All right, I'm looking with this Cosmos. Skiva, hold on, bro. You gotta.
Oh, man.
Can you please fucking.
Oh, man. Hey, dude.
Gary, sorry about that, man.
Yeah, man. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. That guy, he's unbelievable. He is such a. He's so shitty.
Yeah.
He's so shitty. Such a dickhead.
Gary, can you hear us?
Robot. Yeah, I can. Yeah,
okay,
I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, man. It was fucking dickhead robot showed up again. I'm sorry.
I can't believe it. Hate that guy. Dude.
I'm sorry to everyone. Again, let's apologize yet again because that guy shows up and keeps dogging on everyone. Like, what's with the gamer twat thing? Like, really? That was messed up. Gamer twat VR. I love gamer tag. Look, GT, I even rocking my gamer tag mug here today.
Damn. I'm actually jelly. That's beautiful.
Oh, and then I spilled my coffee all down my face. It's beautiful. But no, we love all those guys and really, really excited to play with them.
Yeah, and I honestly think we do have a good chance at taking this.
Oh yeah,
I think we can win.
Oh yeah,
I think we can take this thing. Like Eric is a ringer, and we're good, and everybody else is bad. So that's like that's it, right? I am worried
everyone
about Lonely Viper. Lonely Viper and Proper D, I think, might be a couple of people to worry about.
Yeah, you know, hopefully Lonely Viper gets lonely enough that he falls asleep waiting on us to walk by. You know, there really is a lot of good people in this tournament, and if they are taking it as seriously as we are, you know, there's going to be some good competition going on here.
And anything can happen in these games, dude.
Yeah.
We're playing in like a round robin tournament with like single like kill elimination, like no respawns, you know?
Yep.
So like we got to be slow and careful because if we put our necks out there, boom, you get shot by V-Bunny Go, like it doesn't matter, you're done. You know?
Yes.
You're killed.
Yes,
you can't
this
have that
is
happen.
This is true. We don't want to get sniped by any bunnies or foxes or any woodland creatures as that dickhead mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it's gonna be a good time. Hey Gary, do you play Onward at all?
I played it a long time ago when it first came out. I played it. I bought it and I played it for like 2 hours that night when it first. Literally, I think it was that week when it first came out. And I know it's been like improved on. I go in very, very rarely now, though. I'm not really a multiplayer guy, and I can't really compete anyway. But I do think it's a fantastic game. I've not tried it on the Quest though, and I've heard very mixed things on that. But
mixed indeed.
Yeah. You know, I personally prefer it over PC just because no wires and how easy it is to throw it on and get in the game. I know, Alex, your opinion is very different, I believe.
I'm half and half.
Yeah.
You know, I really, it's like, when you're looking through a window, like I said on our last show, you don't know if you're looking at a chair or somebody pointing a gun at you, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and on PC, it's much easier to see in the environments. But that being said, spinning around to like turn around corners and stuff like freely and on the quests, being able to drop and go prone like without any hesitation, like that is pretty awesome. Onikaze says
Onikaze.
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 Yes,
is that how it is?
That is correct.
Man, well, you're like on it with the names. You know how to pronounce names way better than I do.
Well, I'm that guy. I'm in all of the shows, and like all of these guys are regulars everywhere.
Right.
So yeah.
So Onikaze said, "Is everyone using the shoes? Does that mean that no one's going to go prone?"
That's what I'm thinking, dude. Because you know,
I'll drop out of that chair if I have to.
Well, sure. I mean, but how are you going to get back up? You can crush those shoes trying to get back up again.
Yeah.
That's a really good question, though. I would like to kind of know that. I mean, you know, there's, you know, if I'm guessing people won't be going prone, but if they are, I would like to know that that's even a possibility.
Is it really that hard to slide out of your chair though, if you need to?
Well, like, you don't always. I mean, I'm a big old tall fat Greek man, you know, with bad knees. So I don't know.
hey, Vivian's in the chat. What's up, baby?
What's up, Viv?
We hollered you out. We gave you some mad props. Well, actually, Gary made sure to give you mad props for your trailer, which we showed earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And good we stuff. Already wished you a happy birthday, but since you're here now, we'll do it again. Happy birthday, Vivian.
Happy birthday, dear Viv.
So, so anyway, yeah, Onward's going to happen tomorrow. There's going to be some live streams. It's going to be a whole big thing, and people are going to, like, multiple people are going to be streaming it. I think the Gamescom or the VRML are going to like take everyone's streams and kind of like slap them together.
I
and
think
do something
so.
With
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So, I have a stream going. You should see my stuff on there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Cool.
Should be fun, man. It's gonna be a blast. Yeah. I gotta tell you, man. I don't have usually the time that it takes to commit to becoming really good at a game like this, because this game is really serious. It's a very serious tactical military shooter. You know, there's no health bars, there's no, you know, it is what it is. It's supposed to simulate real combat, you know, but at the same time, I know I'd never be good enough at this to ever really play with the VR Master League on this, and I am so excited to actually play, you know, as part of the VRML for a minute, you know, I mean, and to be part of Gamescom.
And we got some like, dope jerseys.
Yeah, we got jerseys. They won't actually be here till after the competition. But, you know, so we'll wear our jerseys afterwards.
I'll take a selfie and post it to Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what GameTag had? Was he sent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did see that on Twitter. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have blue ones.
Everyone across the pond got theirs. Us in America, we did not get ours and won't get them until probably Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Also, Delirium Drew and Paradise Decay have joined us since we've last mentioned anyone. So, what's up, boys?
What's up? How you guys doing?
What's up, boys? Vivian has 1,500 hours and Onward.
Holy cow. Man, Vivian, why aren't you playing?
She's like a pro.
She bought the phone.
So come play with us.
Yeah, right. Maybe show us how to play, but we don't need you out there.
Yeah, we're good.
You know what's? It's like pretty cool, man. Because the VR community is so intimate, right? Like we basically can count everybody on two hands, you know.
Yeah.
And the regular gaming community is like exponentially larger. However, here in the VR community, being so small, we actually. There's like a insanely high percentage of professional female players.
Yeah.
Like Vivian and Hasco alone, just two women that I know personally, are both like incredible badasses at their games, you know? And it's like you don't see as many that percentage of female gamers competing.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, there was a League of Legends team that like really strived to like be an all girl team. They were like, we're doing this. We're putting five women on a team. We're going to show that these five girls can hang. And without being offensive, they could not hang. Like they got dominated like badly in every single match. Like I think maybe they got one win off of some like technicality or something. They got destroyed.
Ouch.
Yep. But ouch. I challenge you to take on either Hasco or Vivian in a 1v1.
Yeah, dude. And yeah, if you want to see Hasco go, especially hop in there into Echo VR, she will
just dominate everyone. I mean, that she just punches everyone she's in the so face good. Continuously and scores goals.
She's
like nobody's
insanely
business.
Good.
Yeah,
and she just had absolutely. Her 50th birthday.
Oh wow! Wow!
And she's crushing it. It's amazing. It's amazing. So
right on. Right
I'm stoked cool. about VR esports, and I'm really excited to be participating in one tomorrow. So Gary, did you ever make it to an Oculus Kinect?
No, I didn't. No, I would have loved to. Of course, I would have loved to. But yeah, being in the UK, it's a little bit expensive to fly over there. So yeah,
that makes it tough. That makes it really tough. I am happy that I lived close enough to where I was able to just drive. What did I fly out there? Where was it?
I think it was in
San Jose. Yeah, I definitely flew. So yeah. I flew out there, and it wasn't too bad. But that might have last year my first Oculus Kinect. I think that's it. I think we're done. Oculus Kinect, at least as it was once known, is for all intents and purposes dead.
It is. It's actually even changed its name.
Facebook right? Kinect.
Facebook Kinect.
They're going from OC6 to Facebook Kinect.
Yep. I think I have a thing for that.
God damn.
Dude, it's so. It's
I personally
crazy.
Am heartbroken. Like yeah. straight up. Like,
yeah, I hear you.
The day that I walked out of that, like when I left OC6, door closes behind me, I was like, I can't wait to come back. Like, I cannot wait. I was like on Priceline looking at plane tickets for 1 year from that day, you know? And then pandemic hit and they canceled the event. So we're like, okay, that sucks. And now they just dug in a hole for it and buried it. Like, no, what's going on? Gary, what are they doing, dude?
Okay. I'm with you. I feel it. That like, I'm really, really disappointed that the name Oculus Kinect is going away. The way I think about it, though, is that the branding of Oculus is too big, okay? They're not going to just simply abandon the name Oculus. Now, what, in my mind at least, Facebook are focusing a little bit on, like they've got their VR business, which is Oculus, their VR portion of their business. Going forward, and they did mention this at last year's Kinect, AR is going to play a big factor as well. Now, AR is not going to be included in Oculus going forward, in my mind at least. So I think Facebook see Oculus as their VR branding. They're going to have another company, another branding call, which it will be the AR part of their company. And then this was mentioned in the blog post where they announced this as well. I think they were talking about some other tech, which is sort of closely associated with VR and AR. But that probably will take another brand in. Now, this is an unpopular opinion, but I think this is the choice they had to make in order to keep a Kinect, a single Kinect, and yet cover all of these different bases. So there will be an Oculus, and Oculus will remain. I'm confident that the name Oculus will remain. AR, whatever they call their AR portion of their company, will remain there, and it will be part of Facebook Kinect as well. So I think this is simply a move to incorporate all of these different aspects into a single Kinect. The alternative would be to have an Oculus Kinect, an AR Kinect, and then whatever Kinect they had. So I think this is just sort of keeping it all as a single Kinect, really. So I'm disappointed that they're getting rid of the name, but at the same time, I think this is sort of the decision that, looking at it from their point of view, they had to make. And I'm no fan of Facebook, don't get me wrong, but I think this sort of makes sense for where, in my mind, they see their company going.
Hey, Aspen Darkfire. Thanks for joining us in the chat, man. You know, here's why I think it is lame. Because Oculus Kinect, like, you hear Oculus, you associate that with virtual reality. That's what the conference is about.
Yeah.
Facebook Kinect. Yeah. Where is VR in that name?
I don't know.
You know, VR like, there's VR is not existent in that name. Facebook Kinect. So does that mean that, like,
no gonna, reality? I mean, maybe Reality Kinect? Or
yeah,
something?
Like, exactly. Facebook, you know, though. like Facebook Kinect, to me, that just sounds like a Facebook conference. Yeah. You know, like,
I agree.
I want a VR conference. And maybe it will stay that way, you know, but it seems like it just opens up the doors for like for them to do whatever the fuck they want with it, you know. And now they can just like invite maybe like popular Facebook gamers who aren't VR streamers, you know, or like something else, you know what I mean? And it just when it was Oculus Kinect, it was so clear as to like what was going on there. Yep. And now Facebook Kinect, it's just like, it's like, what is that? You know, like if I saw, oh, look, honey, this weekend there's an event happening at the conference center, Facebook Kinect. oh, that's interesting. Yeah, like, they have no idea.
It's a social media
They have no way to understand that that's a VR event. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's sad.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, no, I would just go and say, yeah, I mean, I'll take your point about the name Facebook Connect. I think they could have had a better name to encompass all parts of their future business, the VR part, the AR part, and whatever else. I think the name could have been better. I think they're just too confident in the name Facebook. They don't seem to understand that it's not a great name to have in this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pissed a lot of people off. They have pissed a lot of people off recently. You know, we got into that last week with Steve, and I'm curious, you know, I don't know, is this going to hurt virtual reality, or is this going to bring it more to the masses? I can't decide in my head.
I honestly am somewhere in the middle too, because your words are not falling on deaf ears, Gary. Like, I actually completely see where you're coming from. And, you know, when we were driving out to Vegas for CES, we were talking kind of about IOI and Facebook, and I was playing devil's advocate during our conversation, and I was mm-hmm. talking about how, like, you know, privacy, if you think about it, like, one day that could very well be like an archaic thing, you know, like it could be like an old school, an old timey value, you know, like before privacy was something that, like, you know, people kept to, I don't know, prevent people from knowing all the things that they didn't want people to know about them. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. like, as we push as a human race towards a singularity or something like that, I can't help but feel like privacy as we know it, and, like, you know, the I, the me, the single individual will start to dissolve. And I wonder in what ways that will manifest, you know, like, yeah. People holding on to privacy really, really hard 100, 200, 300 years from now might be completely stupid, because we're already communicating yeah, telepathically.
Sure. But at that point, though, I feel like humanity has reached a level of maturity that we won't be screwing each other over and selling each other's data for profits and you know, and doing the things that Facebook does. You know, I believe that one day privacy will go away, but I don't think it should go away to a corporation that's profiting off of the people like their, you know, livestock feed. My personal opinion is that, you know, privacy is going away, but it doesn't mean you have to give it up easily. I think, you know, there's a lot of us out there, and I'm happy a lot of us out there are voicing our opinions and telling Facebook what's up. You know, like we don't approve of this. We don't approve of this behavior. We joined into the Oculus ecosystem because we were promised things by you, you know, and it's shitty to turn around and kick your customers aside and say, ah, remember that promise that we made? You know, so I don't know. I think that there has to be some trust between the consumer and the business, and Facebook threw all that out the window. So
Gary.
I agree with you on the privacy thing. That's a completely a different issue entirely, and I'm completely with you on that. I think that even the least cynical person in the world will say that, given free rein, Facebook will take every microscopic amount of data that you produce and store it in some way if they're not reined in by something. That's not a cynical look at Facebook. It's just a fact. They want as much data as they can get. And it's only with the pushback that they or legislation that they will stop with that. So I think having the push is important. And I hear a lot of people say, well, yeah, I know about privacy and I know it's important, but I just don't care. And, it, you know, at the moment, do I really in myself care at the moment about what they're storing on me? Well, part of me does, but it's not in the here and now. It's also about what they could potentially be using that data for in the future that we simply have no idea about because of the technology of where we are at the moment. And the problem is, by just allowing this to go without any pushback against Facebook, is it sets a precedent for them. And going forward, coming back from that previous precedent is going to be harder. So I think anybody that has the inclination should push back against Facebook and, you know, do that going forward. I just think as well, you see these posts on Reddit where they do talk about how the amount of people that Facebook care about, it's a very small percentage that will ever even be concerned about this issue when if they were fully informed, I think a bigger percentage would be.
So what should we do? Like, seriously, what should we do? Because if we're going to take action, it has to be like now, right? It has to be like before we buy the next Facebook device, which I guess will be an Oculus device. So let's go ahead and act on the on the assumption that Oculus branding will stay on their hardware. Mm-hmm. You know, like, seriously, what do we do? Do we just make videos telling people that they should complain about it? Do we stop buying it? Like,
I think obviously, you know, the way to kill it is to obviously stop buying it, close your Facebook accounts. You know, you know, Facebook, are they evil? Of course they are. But at the same time, they're only doing what people allow them to do.
And what people ask for. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I always talk about, like, we're giving up our rights and shit or privacy, but, like, people want that. Like, when they pick up their phone, they're like, dude, how come I have to push this button 5 times to get my address? Like, it should just give me my address right away. You know? And they're like, okay, fine. And they code it. And to get that, you have to hit, hey, I agree to give my location information. You know, it's like people are begging for them to do this stuff. And then they're like, okay, but this is how we have to do it.
But that's not how they have to do it. They don't have to record that. They don't have to sell it to companies. They don't have to give all of your information away. They don't have to do those things. They do those things because there's money involved, and profiting is more important than the people that Facebook is serving to them. You know, and you know, Gary made a great point about pushback, and you know, and it is a hard thing, because in a perfect world, we'd have a competitor to the Quest. Mm-hmm. You know, we can go out, and there's a competitor to the Rift S. There's quite a few of them, you know, but the Quest, there is no competition. You know, you could almost say Pico Neo is the closest thing, but they don't have a game store.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it's enterprise. Like, where are you going to buy that?
Exactly. That's the thing. There is no competition. They have a monopoly on mobile VR. And this is why monopolies are illegal. But at the same time, some company could come out right now with a competitive mobile headset with a store, and they would, no matter, like, they would just instantly have an audience. Because there's so many people that would love to jump ship from the Facebook ship, that they would jump off no matter what. And you know, so anyone out there that can come out with a competitive product, please do so, and fast, because we need
Onikaze, right?
Onikaze.
Hey, Kaze. He makes a good point. And he says, I don't know if it's now. Stop buying will prove to all the tech bloggers that VR is dead.
That's
articles
true.
Were right all along. That's the thing. It's like,
if people
can't come out with a Quest competitor, because no one has that overhead. Facebook is like one of the only companies that can afford to take a hit like
that. What about Sony? What if Sony did? You know, someone like that. Like, you know, there are companies out there that have a really big bank account, and, you know, and a passion to get into something that, you know, is a new and upcoming technology that is going to take over the world. You know, I mean, I can't imagine.
So, Gary, if I'm using Oculus product, let's say I buy this next Oculus Facebook headset, and I get a bunch of data collected on me and all that shit, and then I use it for like a year or two. 2 years from now, when Sony comes out with their standalone competitor that blows Oculus out of the water, or at least is comparable, I jump ship. Like, is it too late now? Like, were those 2 years like enough to where, or like, is it still good to get out like at any time? Like, what do you think?
Well, I mean, part of the issue as well is, without that competition, is that we know at the moment that Facebook have made a product in the Quest that you can't really compare to anything else. That is the only one if you want that standalone thing. And I was talking to somebody on Twitter earlier this week, actually, who was sort of making a stand saying they're not buying any more Oculus products now at this very moment. And I was like, of the opinion, like, that's a great thing to do ethically. I'm just not ready to do that, because I don't want to deprive myself of the next Oculus Quest, because I know at the moment there is no competition. So let's say Sony. I mean, I think Sony are probably a good bet to bring out. If anyone, Sony are one of the best to do this kind of thing. I suppose to your point, Alex, what is the time to come out? Is it too late? It's difficult to know, because by the time Facebook, if Facebook have 2 years of just the market lead, the single product that can do this kind of thing really, then is it already too late? Will they be too far down the road for another competitor to come? And it's a great point to bring up. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm just not quite ready at the moment. And I'm not putting my money where my mouth is because I don't want to deprive myself of the next Quest. And that's a selfish right. thing to do, but it's the position I am in.
I feel like most people are. And that's what really sucks about this is like we see it happening and we can't deny VR as a technology now. Like, we've incorporated it into our lives. We're not going to just forget that VR exists. It's like watching TV, like having a TV for 2 months and then someone be like, never mind. You don't need TV. You never need to see a TV again. You know, that's something that is now a part of how I do things, you know? So we're going to be participating. And it just sucks that they've got us by the balls.
Yeah, they really do.
I was just going to ask you guys as well, just very quickly, just on that point, is do you think, because, I mean, it's a loaded question, but Facebook got into this VR thing, a long time ago. And do you think that we are ahead of where we would have been if Facebook had absolutely zero interest in VR? I think the world we're living in now is far ahead in terms of VR. Again, I'm not a fan of VR. I don't want to defend them, but I think it's sort of nonsense to say otherwise. I think we are further ahead because there won't be another company that would produce something of the caliber of the Quest, in my mind at least.
I think you're right. Yeah, I do. You know, and I think that Horizons is and will be a big deal. They have just started to drop some trailers and stuff. I know PD was talking about the safety trailer, and we'll get to that in a second. I've been talking about how Facebook is in a position to where they can leverage this as like the next form of social media if they do this right. So right now, everyone is on Facebook. Everyone, like your grandma, your aunts and uncles, like your nephews, like everybody is on Facebook.
No one can.
And, you know, that's what they use to communicate with each other. You know, when Aunt Betty gets a new puppy or whatever, you're finding out through Facebook. That's how people communicate, especially like Joe and Sally Walmart, you know, to Anthony VR365's expression. So all of those people, they don't have a reason to go into VR right now. None. They don't need to play Super Hot. They don't need to play Beat Saber. They don't need to do any of that shit. But what they do need to do is use Facebook 2. They've been using Facebook 1 for the past... how many years? Like, I don't know, 15?
15 years or so.
15 years or so Facebook has come out really without any, like, huge overhauls. It's been relatively the same idea since the very beginning. This is Facebook 2. Like, if they've positioned this as, like, the next way to connect, like, the next way that everyone's going in there to be with each other, then Joe and Sally Walmart might buy it just because it's a Facebook. It's Facebook. Yeah. You know, like, oh, yeah, I know Facebook. I use that all the time. Oh, look, it's Facebook too. Whoa, did you know that it feels like you're next to other people in Facebook too? And, like, they'll give it all to Facebook. They'll give all the credit to Facebook for being the next social media, and they will have no idea all of the immersive VR experiences that have existed before it.
Yeah.
So I think that there is an opportunity here for Facebook to leverage their status in people's lives to onboard people in a virtual reality using Horizons as like the next social media.
I don't think Facebook would be, I don't think the world would be nearly as far along in VR as it is now. And that's mostly talking about the mobile thing and how so many people are picking up Quests and how Quests have really taken over as like the headset to get, you know, because it does standalone, it does PC VR, but people do not want, you know, people that want to get into this don't want to buy a $1,000 gaming PC and then $1,000 headset. $400 is great, right? I mean, that's the price of a console. So I don't think we would be where we are without Facebook at this very moment. But at the same time, I don't know. Is that a good thing? I don't know.
But
I don't know, maybe.
Wasn't the Santa Cruz like already in development before Facebook came into the picture? Like,
No.
Facebook bought Oculus and then the Santa Cruz.
During the development kit days, they bought them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
All the way down. Yeah, DK1, I believe.
After
DK1. So it's
It's you know, they've been there since the beginning. Mark Zuckerberg knew when he saw that, man. He knew what was up. I mean, he knew that was the future. You know, now you got, we're playing the New Horizons trailer up here. You know, and this looks great. You know what I mean? It looks like what I've always wanted as far as a metaverse. It's just too bad that we'll all be recorded. You know, it's people complain about cameras all over the place and closed caption, you know, video everywhere. And, you know, but this is like more intrusive than that.
Right.
You know, no matter where you are, you can't get away from these cameras. You can't get away from the recording devices.
So Aspen Darkfire, how's it going, brother? Thanks for joining us. I also saw Joachim from All VR in the chat earlier. It's a pleasure to have you. And Lifted Gaming, man. Lifted Gaming. I know you don't know Lifted. I know Lifted, and it's good to see you, Lifted.
What's up?
Lifted used to stream some Firewall way back in the day.
Nice.
Like,
nice.
Way, way back in the early years of Firewall, nice. Which wasn't that long ago.
So what do you think, Alex, about this new trailer that came out?
So
putting all the privacy stuff aside.
Putting all the privacy stuff aside, I think it looks okay. From what I can see, I'm not that impressed. Like, really what's going to impress me is, like, the more, like, back-end stuff. Less of, like, what does this room look like? What game am I playing? More, like, how easy is it for me to get in with people? How connected are we? Like, how smooth of a experience is it? Like, all of that stuff is really, I think, is what is going to define my perspective on this. But I think the avatars look good. I was hoping there would be lots to do. You know, like, they're in a town. They're in there mining. And they're like making food. This is basically like any cooking food simulator game. There's a little golf, you know. Yeah. So there are going to be things to do, which is basically why I love Pro Putt VR and why I love Real VR Fishing, because it's like a social and we're doing something, you know. So it looks like they're going to have lots of different ways to connect and do things. And that is really what the Quest needs.
Yeah.
Like the Quest needs that very, very badly. And if the visuals are good, it's clean, it looks nice, and there's a smooth frame rate and all that, then I'll probably use it. It looks
like a super advanced version of Rec Room. You know what I mean? But with building capabilities. So apparently you can go in and build your own worlds and invite people. You know, so it's almost like that plus
VR chat, Rec Room hybrid.
Yeah, and Altspace and, you know, everything kind of a hybrid, and hopefully everything is nice and smooth with connecting to your friends and launching into applications. Because, you know, on Oculus Go, they had a great system. They had Oculus Rooms, and you could go in and, you know, you could hang out with your friends and play checkers and then launch into a game together, you know? So I feel like this is going to be a good thing, minus all the crap that Facebook is doing in the background. You know, kind of looking forward to trying this out. So
what do you think, Gary?
I'm with you. I think it looks okay, for what it is. I think the thing as well is if somebody said to you that Facebook were going to make this kind of thing, say 3 years ago, somebody said to you Facebook are going to make this kind of social VR world kind of thing, kind of like Rec Room, kind of like VR chat combined, go away and draw a picture of it, I think this is what you would have drawn. It's so predictable, the kind of look and aesthetic that they've gone for, which is fine. It needs to run on a Quest. I'll be excited for this in 10 years when they've got more to do and that kind of stuff, really. But I think it's okay. And if it can appeal to the more casual kind of people that are trying to get into Quest and that kind of stuff, then there's nothing wrong with it in my mind. And also, just a thing about the graphics, I quite like that clean, just low poly look of these kinds of things anyway, and if it helps it run along, then all the better for it, really. I think I'm with you. It's okay. It's pretty much what most people would have expected,
right? And like I said, it really just comes down to how it works, like,
because
even like VR, even like Rec Room and VR chat have room for improvement as far as like adding friends, moving to each other, like moving together into things, you know. Like, Facebook has the resources and hopefully the developers to do some like really clean work. Like, if this is clean, where I just like can open up a menu, invite someone, boom, they come in, it looks good, you know, it's not like jaggy and like, like if it's clean and nice and everything runs smoothly and it's connected and the UI is good, like all that, then I'm going to love it. And if it's anything less than that, then I'm going to wonder why I couldn't have gone into VR chat or Rec Room.
Yeah.
But I think the difference will be the games and the ability, hopefully, to easily connect with everyone.
Yeah, and get into those games together and be put into the same lobbies together when you mm-hmm. connect. So, you know, I feel like Facebook has to do a lot of work with developers on this to make all of this smooth, you know, and hopefully it will be. Hopefully it will be because, yeah. you know, VR, everyone wants a metaverse and, you know,
seriously.
No one wants a Facebook metaverse, but everyone wants a metaverse. So.
And all of the options right now on the Quest are just limited. Like, yeah. you know, you're either going to go into like alt space or rec room, or you're going to go into alt space where there's no games. You're going to go into rec room, which is a
there's some games.
Hellhole. In alt space?
Yeah, you can play like Cards Against Humanity okay. and stuff like that. There's little things, you know?
I guess
like,
so. Yeah. I guess so. I guess just the point I'm making is that this seems like there'll be way more to do.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I don't have to like take someone who doesn't have their VR legs into Echo Arena or something,
yeah.
you know? Because like that's a free game. We could go in there together, but not everyone can do that,
yeah.
you know? So
yeah.
it looks like it's going to be accessible and easy to use, and if it's those things, then I'll be stoked.
Mm-hmm. On that side as well, with the ease of use, I wonder if there's going to be like specific areas or like an option at the beginning where it's only hand tracking or something like that, because I think that's a big deal for some of these things and just getting people into VR where you only have to give them a headset, show them the hands, and then, you know, go and explore this place. I think that would be a great thing for them to do as well with this.
That would be good. Of course, the thing for me with hand tracking is always the lack of haptics. It's like, without the haptic, when you high-five your friend, does it feel like you high-fived him?
Yeah,
you know, like I need that vibration where it's like, oh my God, I just interacted with something in the virtual world.
Mm-hmm.
So the lack of haptics for me is something that I would prevent me from wanting to do that or recommending it.
Yeah, you know, for me, I have never had good experiences with the Oculus hand tracking. I don't know if it's my lighting. I don't know if it's my rooms. I am constantly fighting with it to do anything I want it to do. So for me, it doesn't work very well. I'm sure for other people, you know, they got maybe different size hands. I don't even know. I can't even pretend to understand why it doesn't work well for me, but it works so well for other people. But, you know, there's going to be that being said, there's going to be other people that have the same experience as me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go in there and they're going to go, hey, this isn't working for me. So,
and I want to touch quickly on what PD was mentioning earlier. There's a safety trailer that came out alongside of this show off this stuff trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically are talking about how they intend to keep it safe. And a bunch of people are like, oh, they're going to be watching us the whole time. Like they're going to have moderators. So like if you're in Horizon, you're technically not alone. But
sure.
I don't really think that that's much different than any other kind of
Facebook.
Game or moderation.
Well, no, I mean, there's when you're playing a game, let's say you're an Echo. Obviously, no one's in there watching, or half of these people are getting booted all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but Facebook is going to have people chilling, watching the, you know, watching what people are doing, listening for keywords, you know, and it's creepy. It's creepy knowing someone is up there watching you.
It is.
Listening to everything that you say.
It is. However, if it kept the kids out or kept the screen people or the, you know, the trolls out, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's like a privacy thing or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, people got to. So Mark Zuckerberg isn't going to live forever, right? Who's the next person that's going to take over Facebook? What is that person going to do with all of this data? You know what I mean? We got, you know, someone could come along twice as sketchy as Zuckerberg. I know that sounds almost impossible, but, you know, Dickhead Robot, you know, he's twice as sketchy. Maybe he'll be the next CEO of Facebook. I mean, he'd do a great job. Their morals align exactly.
Right.
You know,
that's so true. Well,
Zuckerberg.
I guess...
Zuckerberg will get uploaded into Horizon when he dies, so he'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. No, there is no second CEO. Zuckerberg is eternal.
Forever. Zuckerberg Eternal. That's the next Facebook game, Zuckerberg Eternal.
Oh my God. That sounds terrifying. That sounds like a horror movie.
It really does. It really does. I don't know. I want to kind of get into this drive-by game. Have you heard of this?
No.
So Drive-By is this game that, to me...
Yes.
I'm
remembering it.
So this game, if I can find my button for it, is looks just like Grand Theft Auto. The crap did I do with it? Damn it. I'd love to show you guys, but apparently I'm a Dumas, and I didn't put a thing for it. But I'm going to find it while you Alex attempt talks to for a second.
So Drive By VR, yes, this game that's that I know very, very little about. And apparently it's exactly like Grand Theft Auto. That's what I hear from from a reliable source. Hear that it's just like Grand Theft Auto. And
what crap is my, you know what, I'm just gonna pull it up. I'm just gonna pull it up on YouTube here really quick, because actually they don't have, oh, that's why I don't have it. They don't have it on YouTube. It is only on their website, I believe, probably because it would get taken down for being too much like Grand Theft Auto, being a total ripoff. But let me see. Everyone wants GTA in VR, right? But this, so this game is pretty much a clone, but it is also a battle royale game, right? Where everyone gets dropped into this world, and then you got to fight it out to the death. Right, so here's this game, and if you guys haven't seen this, you're gonna be like, how the hell are they gonna get away with this?
Oh wow!
I mean, this is a legit ripoff, you know. And from what I understand, GTA has a battle royale mode as well, that was implemented a few years ago.
Is this VR only?
I believe this is VR only. I believe it is, because so this developer is a VR developer, and they are responsible for some other games. Like Standout and War Dust.
Bro, it's third person?
Yeah, it's third person. Some of it's third person, I think, and some of it's probably first person. So I don't know exactly what their thing was here, except to just copy.
Where on here does it say it's VR?
Well, this is VR. Here, we will scroll down here if I can find my mouse cursor, and we'll check it out. So there should be the... let's see, all the different headsets down here somewhere. And this is, it's not giving us a whole lot of information here.
Now you mention it, I'm wondering if it definitely is just VR. I know it is VR, but I was just wondering then, because I hadn't thought of that.
That's a good question. Maybe it would be flat. I mean, that
looks flat to me.
It does look flat, but there are certain parts that they show, you know, you can see the hands without the inverse schematics and stuff. So it's, you know, it's interesting. Man, you know, this developer gets a lot of flack for not completing their games 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll get it to a point where it runs okay, and then they'll just kind of like go on to the next thing, and they won't put that polish on there that everyone wants, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, and to see if Grand Theft Auto sues their ass.
If that's VR, that's going to be amazing. Look at this. Like, The graphics look amazing. Like, there's like motion.
Oh, it says
blur.
VR compatible.
Okay.
It says VR compatible. So I think it probably will be flat and VR. Gary, have you seen this game? Do you know anything about it?
I've seen this. I saw it pop up on Reddit or somewhere where I go on regularly. And yeah, I saw it. I mean, it's blatantly a ripoff. Even like the stills that you can see with the just like the cartoon kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it'd be great. One thing everybody mentions whenever they go into VR and they're a GTA fan or they've played it, you know, that's one of like the dream games, isn't it? A proper GTA 5 in VR. This, you know, I assume it's going to be like a cut down version, multiplayer only. It's not got any single player component, which I would love. That's part of the thing I would love about GTA. But yeah, I mean, it does look almost exactly the same, doesn't it?
It does. And there's so much to do in GTA. Like, you can go, you could spend a whole day just playing cards.
Well, Like, and this is, I think, just Battle Royale.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. This is not going to have the depth of Grand Theft Auto.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it's VR compatible and cross-platform, then this is going to be badass, because you could convince your non-VR friends to play this with you.
Yeah,
and when they see how much fun you're having, then you might be able to get them a jump ship.
Sure, but they're also going to go, but dude, why don't we just play Grand Theft Auto 5 with that mod? Like, why are we even doing this? You know, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, because that mod's not good.
Yeah. But, you know, so that's a thing right now, which I, you know, I'm going to play it because I'm so freaking curious. But
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I don't even care that it's a ripoff. I think it looks really good.
Oh, man, you know what's crazy is right at the top of my notes, I put the word subscribe. So I would remember at the very beginning to be like, please subscribe. But I forgot.
Well,
so
this is a better time.
Maybe subscribe.
This is a better time. That would be amazing. Because, like, the first couple of minutes, who's in there? right? Like notification squads up in there. You know, like we got to give it some time to like sink in. Like now we're an hour deep. You know, maybe we've got somebody in the chat or somebody watching who hasn't seen the show before. Like this is your opportunity to become a part of something bigger than yourselves and click the subscribe button. It's that easy.
Push it. That'd be rad. Thank you. Appreciate that. What else we got going on here? Let's just shoot the shit for a bit here with Gary, because I have some questions that I'd love to ask Gary. You know, I obviously here I'm wearing a VR Roundtable shirt. So these guys, I got to tell you, I watched every single episode of the show.
Nice.
This was the highlight of my week, man. It was like, yeah, it's VR Roundtable time. Woo! Like I looked forward to this, man. Like at the time. There was nothing else like this. I mean, there was nothing where people were sitting around talking about all this stuff and discussing the games and going over this stuff. I mean, you know, there were people who made specific videos on a specific game or this and that, but I mean, these guys are the OG gangsters of what we do.
Nice.
You know, and I love this old show. I just love it, and I wish it would come back. So will you bring it back? No, I'm just kidding. But What I want to find out, kind of like, what inspired you guys to create the show originally, and how did you find everyone that was on this show? You know, Chris and Steve and Anthony.
Yeah. Okay. So I should point out that we weren't the OG. We weren't the OG at all. So VR Spies, who I was a very big fan of, VR Spies. Okay, they'd been doing it for a few years. They'd done it like a sporadic podcast where they did it for a couple of weeks and then they'd maybe have a break and do one again. But they were great. So they were a big inspiration for me. But just going back to how VR Roundtable started. So Anthony did this thing called the Vivecast when he first got his HTC Vive. And I listened to that. And on the last episode, or the last but one episode, or before then, I contacted him behind the scenes. And I just said, what do you think about doing a two-man podcast, just an audio podcast? And he said he wasn't really into it. He wanted to do the Vivecast for now and just stick with that. But I could go on as a guest. So I did that. I went on as a guest on his Vivecast. And then he decided to end the Vivecast. And then a few weeks later, he said, what do you think about doing a YouTube show? And I was somebody who, honestly, I was hesitant to do this. I don't even know if Anthony knows about this, because I was never that keen to be on camera. I always envisioned just doing an audio podcast. But I thought about it. I thought, why not? What have I got to lose? I love VR and I want to talk about it. So let's do that. So Anthony and I did two episodes on our own. And Anthony knew Steve from some forum that they were both members of. So he asked Steve to come on for a show. And then a while after that, I think it was probably, I don't know, episode 15, 16, we were thinking, because we all owned Vives, and it was only Vives that we owned, so it was difficult to cover the Oculus side, which was, you know, 50% or more of the stuff that was coming out then. And so we put something on Reddit just saying, does anybody that own an Oculus want to come on our show as a guest sometime? And we got a few responses. We took all their names down. And we just chose Chris as the first one. And he did a great job. So we thought, come on board. And that's pretty much it. From then, it was just the four of us. And
And that's funny, because later on, you guys had all switched to Oculus Rifts, right? And then as kind of a joke, people started kind of calling you the Oculus Roundtable.
It's Rift Roundtable. Rift Roundtable for some reason.
The Rift Roundtable,
So we were big. Yeah, we were big Vives at the beginning. But then we just sort of switched over to, I mean, we still had Vives, some of us. And Steve actually had a lot of headsets. He was picking up headsets all the time. And we had the other ones as well, PSVR. So we weren't really, but yeah, we did. I suppose we did sort of play into that a little bit as well.
Nice. And, you know, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think the reason why everyone kind of moved over to the Rift side was because of the touch controllers, right? I mean, you got the wands with the track pads that, you know.
Yeah.
At first, they were really cool, but then touch controllers came out and just crushed it. I mean, to this day, I think those original touch controllers are better than the Valve Index controllers, better than anything that's ever come out for anything VR controller-wise. So,
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm completely with you on that. I think they were fantastic controllers, and that played a big part in it, because I still love the Vive headset. The original Vive headset was great. But yeah, those controllers, I thought they were great at the beginning until you tried the Oculus Touch. Then, yeah, you get a different perspective, I suppose.
Do you remember the VR experience that you had that flipped the switch? You know, like the one that you were like, oh my God, like, oh, holy shit. And like, you haven't been the same since. Like, what was that experience?
I'm just trying to think. So, I mean, I suppose Elite Dangerous is the one that comes to mind. Anybody that watched VR Roundtable will know that I'm a big Elite Dangerous fan. And I suppose, you know, it's the obvious choice for me, but it is that. It just is that. It's just such a fantastic game in VR. It's like it was made for VR, even though it wasn't. They support it really well. Up until this point, but the next update, which they are doing and giving everybody VR legs where they, space legs where they can go out and walk on planets and stuff, that is not coming to VR at the beginning. So that's disappointing. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a fantastic experience. Blew my mind.
Elite Dangerous. That's the one.
Yeah, man. You know, I bought Elite Dangerous when it, you know, back when I first got my headset, and I will listen to Gary and some other people talk about it, and it sounded so in depth, and like I would need to put in so many hours that I actually got scared away from it, and I never actually even went into it because everyone's like, oh, you need hours just to figure out how to control the ship and this and that. And I'm like, oh, that's scary. I got other games to play too, you know. But then and I wish I did, because then No Man's Sky came out, and I got, you know, in VR, I should say. And I just got super into it. And, you know, I put, you know, 160 hours or whatever, however many hours I put into it. But, I mean, it's just so good. And I wish I had explored Elite Dangerous. And, you know, I will still have time and I will get into it. But, yeah, I mean, I hear that game is absolutely phenomenal.
I've had a friend who tried to get me into it before VR was a thing. Oh. And he was like, man, this Elite Dangerous looks dope. Like, we should get into it. And I'm like, I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I have that kind of time. You know, like I know what kind of time sinks those games are. And it's just like it's like such a decision to like fire it up for the first time. You know, it's like, oh shit, here we go. Like this could be it.
Yeah.
This could be the way I spend my time for the next 2 weeks.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I never get into it, but I'm going to, I'm definitely going to. I'm making some changes in my life now to allow me to play more VR, because I am that much of a VR junkie.
That's true. It's, you are hardcore, bro.
Yeah.
I've taken a week off with the exception of our Onward playing and a couple of other things so maybe I haven't taken a full week off really, but I've been playing a lot of flat games lately. And by the way, I'll plug this once only, but I did start a Twitch stream for my non-VR gaming. My Twitch was just like sitting there. Anytime I did anything VR related, it just didn't really make sense to go to Twitch to live stream anything. Yeah. And it all just goes straight to my YouTube regardless. So I decided I would use my Twitch as an outlet for like playing Fall Guys, which I'm doing right now. I've been playing Smite for years. And I have homies that I play that game with that, you know, that's like how we connect.
Yeah.
And that's been something that's been a part of my life forever. So I now have an outlet for some of that gaming. And if you'd like, you are welcome to follow me on Twitch. Send me a message or something if you want
a
link.
Oh, we got to get a description for that. And
not really, because it's not VR. I'm not going to do VR stuff on it, you know. Okay. But it is me. So if you want to hang out, come hang out with me on Twitch. Gary, this is the section of the show where I will give you an opportunity to bring up a topic. I want to bounce the ball in your court and see if there's anything that you think needs to be talked about or isn't getting enough attention, or maybe you don't have the opportunity to discuss on your typical platform.
Okay, yeah. So you did give me a heads up on this.
For the first time.
No one else has gotten a heads up.
So I was thinking about this, and I've always been one of these people that likes speculation and looking towards the future of stuff and that kind of thing. So with this, just very briefly, I wanted to, it's partially me asking you guys as well. When we first got VR back in 2016, like consumer VR, it all came out. You put the headset on and immediately you think, you know, this is fantastic, but you can see the limitations of it, of what it needs to do in the future and where it needs to go. But we had very limited perspective on the direction that the companies were going in back then. Like Facebook, they could have been just a PC VR company forever and never produced something like the Quest. We didn't know. So I suppose now looking towards, say, 10 years into the future, and we've got a bit more of a perspective where the companies are going, what direction they're going in, and also the hardware, what direction the hardware is going in, where do you guys think will be in 10 years' time in terms of VR? Do you think it will be a VR AR split, or will VR still be the sort of the lead even in 10 years' time? And also, do you see these companies like Facebook, will they still have their focus on VR, or will they be moving, transitioning over more to AR at that point? Because that's the way the sort of the predictions are going, honestly. But also, and more interestingly, Valve. What will Valve be doing in 10 years' time with VR? But yeah, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that, because I think about this all the time.
I know Skiva's got thoughts. 10 years.
Yes, 10 years. So what I see in 10 years, and I feel like what's going to happen here is going to be, it's really going to come down a lot on how Apple enters this game, right? Because I think that Apple is going to come up with a headset that does AR and VR. I think they'll be the first company to be able to black out the background and switch between AR and VR. And that's kind of where I see everything going in the next 10 years anyway, is headsets having both AR and VR capability. I mean, we're really, you know, we've just started this journey of that per se, right? So, you know, you got a pass-through feature on your Oculus Quest that shows you the room in black and white. On the Valve Index, you can double click the system button and get a full color view of your room. So you can grab a drink or just see who stepped into the scene with you. There's a lot of people are putting, like Valve, for example, they really are encouraging people to play with those types of features and the AR features. But what really is going to change the game, I think, is when Apple comes in. They've been working on their AR kit forever. Right, their iPhones, iPads have all been able to do very, very good AR for a long time. So I think they're going to come into the game and they're going to switch it up, and AR is going to blow up, you know. But all these other companies are very far behind, I think. So, but I think in 10 years we'll see a mixture of AR and VR, but it will be mostly on dedicated standalone headsets. And I think the form factor is going to go down significantly. But yeah, I mean, AR will be the biggest, I think, you know, because of business and training and, you know, just walking down the grocery aisle and I need Frosted Flakes. Oh, there's an arrow. It's going to guide me right to that section. Right. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that, where it's just where your normal everyday, you know, Joe and Sally Walmart will be able to put that on and go, I understand. This helps me in my everyday life. And that I will spend money on.
Yeah.
So there's just a quick synopsis of what I kind of see in the next years.
I don't know if I in 10 years see AR and VR becoming the same thing, you know, or there might be some devices that have capabilities of both, but even in my short time in VR, which I guess is like, I don't know, maybe I guess like 2.5 years or something like that, maybe 2 years, it's hard to say. Because I realized that time is just a fabric of my fucking imagination, and I try to figure it out, and I can't. And there's a reason, because it's not linear. It's very hard for me to even remember how long ago things were. But it's been a couple of years, and in that short amount of time, my perspective of VR has changed quite a bit. You know, like it is not a gaming device. It's not, and it's not like. Like a replacement for a gaming device, you know, which is why I am now playing flat streams games on stream, because I realize that it's a completely different experience.
Yeah.
Putting on the headset is like being transported to another place, and playing on a flat screen is obviously you're still there, you're just chilling. So I think VR and AR will kind of be similar in that way, where like they have completely different use cases. You know, like VR is literally for when you want to be somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And AR is literally for when you want this to be enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see those devices being one and the same. I feel like the AR stuff for the grocery store, for directions, for the everyday life will probably show up as a form of like either a thin pair of glasses that are nice or a contact lens that can display something. But virtual reality will still be something that requires a higher level of haptic feedback and a level of immersion where you probably aren't going to want to be wherever you just were. You know, like, I wouldn't put a VR headset on sitting at this table. I don't think that's going to change in 10 years. Like, I still think I'm going to need a good amount of space and, like, my time set aside to go and do that specific thing. So I think for that reason, it doesn't make a lot of sense to, like, cram both of those things into one device, at least in these 10 years.
Yeah.
20, 30, 40, 50 years, who knows? But by 2030, I think we'll still see a pretty hard separation.
So everyone that's listening to this, make sure, put it on your calendar. In 10 years, come back and rewatch this, and let's see, let's see what happens. But until then, Gary, what's your thoughts on this?
Yes, I guess combination of what you think as well, because we can all be wrong on this. I mean, we almost certainly are all wrong on this.
I'm sure we are. Yeah.
But I'm sort of with Alex in that in 10 years' time, I don't necessarily think it will be one device. I think that it will get to that at some point. I just don't think it will be one device. In 10 years, I think Facebook will have diverted most of their attention to AR. I think they will still have a standalone VR headset that they support ongoing. And I still predict that will be Oculus. I still predict they will call that platform Oculus. That will be like a console thing that they release, you know, like a standalone console like that, like the Quest. But I think AR will be their focus. But I think a lot of the companies, see, Apple, I've always been of this opinion that they're never really going to put their full force behind VR. It's all AR with Apple. I've always been of that opinion. And yet we see things coming out like the patents and stuff like that that come out over the past few months. And it looks like they are doing that kind of stuff with VR as well. So who knows with that? Valve is the one that I'm interested in, and Sony as well, of course. I think Sony will start producing a standalone VR headset, and that will be ongoing. That will be like the Vita, the PSP kind of thing that will be ongoing for them.
That would be fucking awesome. You put on your Vita and play your PS5 VR games anywhere, just like virtual desktop right now.
Yeah,
would love that. I think, and on that point, actually, I think 5G will play a role in 10 years as well, where we have streaming. You never know. If we can get streaming VR, that will be the dream, I suppose. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5G will definitely allow that to happen. The question is, you know, strapping 5G things to our heads will liquefy our brains? Who knows?
Right.
But we're going to find out, because damn straight, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
You know? So,
dude, anytime I think about the future of VR, I think about the way that they implemented it in Black Mirror. And I've brought this up so many times on this show. But in Black Mirror, they just put a little fucking pod on their temples and they knock out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I imagine something is manipulating the electrical impulses in your brain and can rewire it. And it's like, okay, actually, no, here's this impulse and here's what you're seeing. And it just, like, jumps into the electrical synapses and takes them over.
Now, you saying that makes me very scared for the future of Facebook being the biggest VR, AR, company out there. Because if they can do that, you know, then how much different is it to say, well, you know, maybe we could entice these people to look at this ad and entice them to buy this stuff. And, you know, we just change one little thing and then they want to, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of crazy things Facebook could do with brain interfacing. And a lot of things that a lot of companies could do that could be really sketchy with brain interfacing. But at the same time, I am so intrigued by it that I am willing to take that chance personally. I am willing to put that shit in my brain, you know what I mean? Because I'm so curious and I just want the most immersive thing that I can possibly get my hands on. But I really hope, you know, that morally we
it's gonna be crazy, you know. Man. That's gonna rock the fundamentals of reality a lot. And we're gonna be having some serious philosophical discussions, because it's like, it's gonna rock everybody's foundation, man.
For sure.
It's gonna be insane.
For sure. I mean, you know, never mind the fact that they're gonna be able to cure all kinds of crazy diseases that people didn't have any chance of before, right? But by being able to manipulate things in your brain, you know, but to be able to literally go to a place and not have to worry about, okay, I got to put these cyber shoes on so I can feel like I'm walking, and I got to put this tactic vest on so I can feel myself getting shot.
So we're talking about, I don't want to interrupt you, but we're talking about, like, time relativity earlier. Like, let's say brain interfacing comes out. Couldn't you just, like, give somebody 20 years in like a second, you know, like what would a whole lifetime even look like? Like it would be like the Matrix, man. Like all of a sudden we all plug in.
Well, yeah.
And then like,
yeah. Then I mean, that's
you
the
basically
goal.
Are going to live forever.
The goal,
right?
The goal is to be able to think and be able to retrieve information from the internet, you know, to become subhuman, to become a cyborg, if you will, to be able to very quickly be able to know how to do anything. Right. And then we're going to we might see a part in this time in humanity where some people have this ability and some people don't. And, you know, and then the people that are able to know anything that the internet knows by just thinking about it will be able to get that job. And the person that is saying, I don't want that in my head, maybe. Well, why would you hire that person? They don't have those abilities to be able to adapt quickly, learn quickly.
I'm talking more high level here. I'm talking like Total Recall. Like, so you see Total Recall and he's like, yeah, I want to be a secret agent. Plugs in, bam, now he's a secret agent. Like, and we as the viewer, we don't know if a new timeline has split off, if that was always the case. And you're like, we don't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's going to be the kind of questions that we start to ask. Like, let's say I put in a chip and I buy a recall trip to Hawaii that is 2 weeks long. I don't lay there for 2 weeks. I close my eyes.
You
and
have
then one
the
second later, I wake up with 2 weeks of memory. So like, what if you just keep stacking that on? You know, like I get, and then I wake up, I'm like, I'll take 10 years in Germany. And then I'll take 30 years in the year 29th. And you can just like stay alive forever by continuously like plugging recall memories into
your brain. I don't know if you would stay alive forever. You would remember back to when that happened.
But to the human experience, you live that time.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
You would just wake up one day and be like, oh, wow, that was another lifetime.
You have like
cool.
1,000 years of memories in 10 years.
Or, it would be your choice when to die. Yeah. Like you'd be like, okay, you know, I think I'm done remembering stuff. Do you feel me, Gary? You know where I'm going
with this? No, I get what you're saying. I mean, this is all like sort of future technology where we know it would be great if this stuff could exist, but can it ever exist? Can that kind of stuff ever exist? And that's the interesting thing as well. But yeah, I'll get you, Alex. Yeah, that would be great.
I'm going to give that a big hard yes. That will absolutely exist.
I think it can.
I'm not saying it's going to in our lifetime, but it's definitely going to exist. Either that or, you know, like Elon Musk says, we will either get to a point where games are exactly the same to us as reality, or we will cease to exist for some reason. You know, maybe we nuked ourselves. You know, maybe we just all got really high and decided, that's too much work, forget it.
Or we ascend to just like perfect order, and all it is just a harmonious tone.
But if none of that happens, if this beats it to the market, you know, then absolutely, this has got to happen. It's just, you know, it's the evolution of humanity. And, you know, I look at my obsession, which is VR, as the evolution of humanity to make it look a little bit more important than it is. But I really do believe that this is the beginning of our evolution.
Well, so, I'm right there with you, brother. That's why we fucking call this show Between Realities. That's why we started this thing, because there's something big going on here, goddammit.
And it's not just me.
And it's not just Skiva. There's even bigger things than Skiva out there, ladies and gentlemen. And we love talking about them. Mm-hmm. And we have been doing so with Gary Walkden, Reckoner VR. And it's just been a pleasure and an honor to sit here and pick your brain, dude.
Yep. It really has, man.
Been fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show. I do want to just encourage what Alex and Skiva were saying earlier on as well. Just definitely subscribe to this channel, because these guys are doing stuff that no other podcasts are doing in this manner. And I was saying that before the show, you know, the format that these guys have is fantastic. And I think they should just carry on, and let's all give them the encouragement to do that. I definitely enjoy watching these shows because they are unlike other shows that I watch. So it's fantastic.
Oh, I know.
God damn, know. Dude. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes. The Memory Engine is currently available on Amazon as an ebook download, and hopefully in about 48 hours or less will be available as a paperback version, which I would encourage you to get, even though he makes less, but it's the token. Like, I want the token. I need the piece of Reckoner VR in my life.
I agree. I'm definitely buying a hard copy, and I'm definitely getting the audiobook too. Even if I end up reading it before
the
audiobook, like I'm gonna re-listen to it.
Buy yourself a hard copy, and then when the audiobook comes out, scoop that up too, so that way you know, he doesn't get fucking ripped off because you decided you want the hard copy and now Gary doesn't get anything.
No, I still get some, but yeah, the hard copy. I do encourage people to get the hard copy because I do quite like it. I like it. I like holding this thing in my hand.
That is so dope, and I can't wait to hold mine. So yeah,
for sure, man.
I guess we're gonna kick you out of here now, Gary.
Yeah, I guess okay. So, man. It is that time. Everyone say goodbye to Gary.
Say bye, Gary.
Bye.
See you, brother. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Get him out of here. He's gone. Everybody, this has been awesome. You know, again, we'll thank Gary. He's gone now, you know, but we'll thank him. And we'll thank everybody in the chat that's been here. Limitless, Oni Case, Paradise Decay, The Geek, Vivian, Hussein X, Pabark, yes. Like, Tones My Bones, all you guys. Thank you guys so much
for Remember being here. Tomorrow, that Cyber Shoes tournament.
Yep.
We are going to kick some anus.
We're going to kick anuses. And I guess Giva will stream it. I probably will be streaming too. I suck at streaming in VR. It's like reading chat and stuff is such a pain in the ass.
I am not going to be reading chat because I'm really going to be concentrating on winning this. So you True can that. Come watch on my channel, but please don't expect me to reply.
Click the like button on this video right now. I don't care if you didn't like it. Click that shit. Click subscribe button. I don't care if you already subscribed. Click anyway. And
don't click anyway, that'll unsubscribe them
and then resubscribe and buy yourself a Between Realities t-shirt from our store and look forward to next week.
Who we got next week?
Next week we have now this is a friend of mine actually. Next week we have Avi Devetti. Avi Devetti is a VR developer from India who is the operator of the XRDI, which is XR Developers of India Facebook group, and it is a rapidly growing group, and he is like the guy who is representing virtual reality in India right now. He's Very like cool. trying to get as many people on board. He's like trying to get as much equipment as he can. He's making programs and streams, and he's got his community up and running. And I was actually interviewed on his podcast. I think it was my first time ever appearing on anybody else's podcast was Avi Devetti's podcast XRDI. So I'm excited to have him and kind of return the favor and host him on our show.
Heck yeah.
And pick his brain and see what the hell is going on over in India.
And the two of us will actually be on that Tom Clancy show, I believe, on Tuesday.
Oh, this week?
Yeah.
In like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, yep.
That Tom Clancy. Check him out on YouTube. We'll find a way to, I don't know, we'll promote that on Twitter or something as well. Mm-hmm. Let's end this fucking show.
Yeah.
See you guys. Okay, goodbye. Take
bye,
care.
Everyone. Bye.
Thank you.